Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in lovely Greenville, South Carolina, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. And just a reminder, as always, please like, rate, review, subscribe. Don't miss future episodes of the show. I was just talking to someone, you know who you are, that said that they listened to some episodes and have not yet left a review or a rating. Not good. Please, please just take a quick second, even if it's just smashing the 5-star button on Apple Podcasts or whatever app platform you're using. Just leave a comment on YouTube. Whatever you guys want to do, I would appreciate it. And, of course, this show is sponsored by Piper Insurance Group. They are my go-to for home, auto, and umbrella insurance. They're an independent insurance agency, meaning that they can quote multiple different insurance companies, bring back the best rate that they can find. They're licensed in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia. And even if you're looking for beyond just your primary residence, your primary vehicle, things like that, insurance for those sorts of things, they will help you out with insurance on investment properties as well, fix and flips, ground up new construction, residential, commercial, all of those things. So please reach out to them. Piper Insurance Group, local company to Greenville. They can help you out. Their contact information is in the show notes. All right. We have gotten a little bit off track somewhat with dealing with some more national issues, right? There's a lot of national things in the headlines. I want to bring it back to Greenville, right? And have some more Greenville-centric content. I know a lot of my listeners are people interested in potentially relocating to Greenville. So I want to make sure that this content is helpful for you guys. And a lot of realtors as well listening to this content, you guys might be more interested in the Greenville-specific stuff. So I want to make sure I cater to you as well. But before I get into that, okay, because we're going to be talking about some of the unique things that we have in the Greenville market, some of the types of properties that are kind of different than others. But before I get into that, I just want to recap. This past week, I went to Columbia, South Carolina for a couple of days for Capital Conference. This is a politically focused conference for the Realtor Association, basically, in the state of South Carolina. Some of you may know I chair the Realtor Political Action Committee here in Greenville, South Carolina. All that that means is that I am a first of equals when it comes to this committee. It's really easy to join, by the way. If you're a realtor, you want to get involved in the association, this is the way to start. Join the Realtor Political Action Committee. Reach out to me. I can tell you how to join. But we're not exclusive. We'll basically take anyone that we can get. Really, the goal behind the committee is to push for private property rights. That is the number one thing. Every now and then, there are realtor-specific issues that come up, but usually the realtor-specific issues are handled more on the state level. On the local level, we're pushing back against all of the anti-private property nonsense that's happening in various county and city governments. Yes, they're all trying to take away, strip your rights, strip the rights of private property owners in a whole lot of different ways. Now, not everything would you necessarily agree with, right? Some people are, you know, I know that there's some listeners who are really anti-development. And that's one of the big issues right now, right? Because we need more development. It's got to be smart, right? We're not talking about just like throwing up skyscrapers left and right, but there has to be more development. There has to be smart development in order to account for the housing affordability crisis that we have nationwide, but specifically here in Greenville. Now, some have basically just put their head in the sand and just said, we're not going to do anything about it. We just want to stop all development. I don't think that's the right approach. I think that we need to take a sensible approach to saying, well, if we're going to allow people to come into Greenville, and a lot of people are coming into Greenville and into Spartanburg and into Anderson and the upstate as a whole, if we're going to allow that, we need to have a place for them to live. Because what ends up happening, usually the people coming here from out of town have more money than people that are native to the Greenville area. And so it's not helpful if we're not building more. Basically, the people with more money are just going to outbid all of the people that are local. And so we're just kind of cutting off our nose to spite our face if we're going to be anti-development just across the board. So on the political action committee side, we are really trying to bring some common sense into that discussion. And it's not just about development. It's about a whole lot of other things. It's about property taxes. It's about how you're able to use your land. It's about making sure that the property doesn't, that the different county councils, different city councils don't do workarounds around zoning in order to tell people what they can do with their land without going through the proper zoning process. So there's all sorts of different things like this that we're doing. So we had a conference in Columbia about this. Great conference. Had a good time, good networking, and I highly recommend that you guys go. It's an annual conference that SCR does. It's only like $50 to go, and really it's a 1-day conference. But for if you want to go to the legislative reception, meet your representative, sometimes there are some breakout sessions before that are for people in leadership positions. That happens the day before, but it's the past couple of years, it's just been a 1-day conference. So you can literally drive up to Columbia, drive back in the same day if you want. Highly recommend it. Let me know if you guys are interested in any of that. All right. Not to get too off track here. But I did want to put that out there so you guys know kind of a little bit of what I've been doing in addition to all of my normal work. So Greenville, right? A Greenville-specific episode I've been promising you guys, and here's what I want to talk about today. There are three quirks that come up frequently when people are looking at homes. Three different things, and there's more than this, but three main things, at least for me, that I run into that people like to ask about. Homes that are on golf courses, homes that have basements, ideally finished basements, and homes that have pools. These three things frequently come up in conversation, and they're controversial, right? Not everyone wants a golf course in their backyard. Not everyone wants a basement. Not everyone wants a pool. But these types of homes do cater to certain people, and I think it's worth just talking about, okay, what is going on in the market with these homes specifically. So what I did was I analyzed data from the past couple of years from one specific neighborhood, the Pebble Creek neighborhood, just as a sample for what is happening in our local market. Pebble Creek's a great example because it has, obviously a great golf course going straight through Pebble Creek and Taylor's. So there's homes on the course. There are plenty of basement homes, some with big basements, some with smaller ones. And then there are pool homes in that neighborhood as well. And then there's a lot of others that don't have any of those things. And so it's really a great neighborhood to analyze for the purpose of this data. So a few things that we had going on here. One was when we look at the acreage, okay? I'm just going to go through here real quick what some of the averages were that we were, averages and medians that we were running through here, okay? So I broke all these down by average or median. We've had this discussion before. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to use the word average. Some of these times, for some of these, if the median makes more sense, that's what I'm going to refer to. But I'm just going to use the word average, whether it's average or median. It just gets too clunky to go back and forth. So in general, for the data set that I looked at, the average number of acres per property that sold in Pebble Creek was 0.39 acres, almost 0.4. Had a original list price $398,000, average sold price of $392,000, price per square foot of $166,000, which came out to about 2,400 finished square feet. And let's see here. About one point, on average, they were two-story properties sold, days on market on average in 19.5 days, and so forth and so on. So those are the averages, okay? Just get that out of the way because that will help us to compare. Now, let's look from there to golf course homes. Now, here's the quirk, and I'll discuss with you guys what kind of people think or don't think about some of these different types of homes. So there is some golf homes that are actually on golf courses, whether it be the fairway, the green, whatever the case may be, at the hole. They can be at different places with regard to the golf course. Because of this, typically the backyard, right? You don't typically have a golf course in your front yard. It's typically going to be in, this typically going to be arranged so that the golf course is in your backyard. So the homes in Pebble Creek with golf courses have smaller lot sizes overall, 0.29. Remember, the average was 0.39, basically 0.4. The golf course average was 0.39. So they're losing an entire tenth of an acre to be on a golf course, okay? Here's what I typically find with golf course homes is that they have very little, if any, backyard. Basically, that golf course is your backyard. So if you don't like the yard maintenance, which of course a lot of these communities already have, you know, yard maintenance built in to the HOA fee. But if you particularly just don't even need that, you just like to go out on your deck and you just like to see stuff back there, but you don't need a backyard, that's where a golf course, a home that's actually on the course, can be good, right? You know you're going to get things taken care of because they're going to be, they're going to want everything to be cleaned up, but you're probably not going to be able to have fences. You're probably not going to be able to, you're going to be limited in terms of using that space. You're going to have to deal with quirks like balls coming towards your house, maybe even hitting your home, right? This has happened. You get, you know, obviously they try to set the home far enough away, but if a guy shanks a drive or whatever the case may be, you could find a golf ball hitting your home. Not everyone likes that. In terms of size, these homes also in Pebble Creek tended to be smaller. On average, they were 2,182 square feet. That's quite a bit smaller than the 2,400 square foot average for the non-golf course homes. The median was 1,978, which was also substantially less than the median for everything, which was 2,410. So these homes are smaller in general, and their lot sizes are smaller as well. And that reflects in them being substantially cheaper, okay? On average, the list price that it started with was $50,000 cheaper than the list price for every home that sold in Pebble Creek. It was $348,000 in comparison to $397,000 was your normal that you have in Pebble Creek during the sample size that I took here. So it's definitely, these homes are not for everyone, right? They're smaller, at least in Pebble Creek. In this sample, they were smaller. The lot size was smaller, and that's going to be pretty normal. You know, it's mostly retirees that want these sorts of homes, right? Nobody that has children, or that has animals wants a home with functionally no backyard. Your animal, they're not going to be allowed to go out on the green and poop on the green, right? So you've got to take that into account. It's a niche group of people that are looking for a home that's on a golf course is typically going to be the empty nester sort of crowds more often than not. The price per square foot that these golf course homes sold for, on average, 161, median 164. What's interesting is the average is a little bit higher than the average for everything. The average for everything was 166, but the median for the golf course homes a little bit higher. So the median was 164 in comparison to 163 for everything. So all in all, these homes are not selling really for that much less price per square foot, but here's where you have to keep something very, very important in mind. These homes are already smaller, and in general, people pay more for square foot for smaller homes than they do for larger homes. That's a really good rule of thumb. We've talked about this before. I'm not going to get into all the details there. But the fact that these smaller golf course homes are selling for either slightly more or slightly less, depending if you look on at the average or the median price per square foot, either way, that's telling me people don't want them in comparison to having a non-golf course home. That is a dead giveaway because the price per square foot being smaller than the average should mean that the total square foot being smaller than average should mean that the price per square foot is greater than average, okay? That would be a normal trend. When I analyze this data, I see that all the time. Cumulative days on market. This is also a good indicator that these homes are not as attractive because they're taking longer to sell. Now, not that much longer to sell. It's actually still less. Now, Pebble Creek's a desirable neighborhood, but it's still far less than if you're looking at averages and medians for the entire Greater Greenville market. These are going to sound low, but it was 24. If you look at the average, 24 days on market. until going under contract. If you're looking at the median, 15 days, that compares to 19 and 6, respectively, for all properties. So these properties are taking a little bit longer to sell. Not dramatically longer, but think of it as about, depending on how you look at it, either 2.5 times as long if you're looking at the median, or roughly 25% longer if you're looking at the average. But again, we're talking about, you know, a week or 2 weeks longer than just normal home sell. So golf course homes can be a great option, but the data is telling me that it's not people's first option, right? And that's not shocking, should not come as a surprise, but it's always good when the data confirms our priors. Let's look at basement homes, okay? The basement homes on average had much, much larger lot sizes. 0.51 is the average, 0.51 acres is the average, 0.49 acres is the median. Of course, that's substantially higher than the 0.39 and 0.37 that we have for all properties that we're looking at in the sample, and substantially almost twice as large as the golf course homes. So much, much bigger lot sizes and much bigger homes too. The total square footage, both average and median, was over 3,100 square feet. That's substantially more than the 2,400 that we have for the entire sample size that we're looking at. So these are bigger homes, right? Not surprising because they have basements. Now in Pebble Creek, some of the basements are quirky. Some of them are more like half basements. Some of them are the more full basement size, but a lot of them are, you know, a little bit quirkier. They're not the greatest basements in the world, okay, in general. There are some exceptions to that, but that's something to keep in mind as well. So how did this affect the price, right? Okay, so these started, this is interesting, these started at $436,717. That was the original list price for these by average. By median, $445,000. That's up quite a bit from the $398,000 or $389,000 and change that we have for the averages and medians, respectively, for the entire market. So we're talking about these homes started at being listed for between $40,000 to $60,000 more than the average homes. But that's factoring in the lot sizes are larger and that the homes are about 700 square feet on average larger, okay? The price per square foot was down, okay, but I'm gonna come back to that here in a second. Here's the part that's really interesting to me. I just said that the average list price was $436,717. The average sold price was $439,100. On average, the basement homes are selling for more than they're listed for in Pebble Creek, okay? What does that tell you? That's a real good indicator that people want those basement homes, okay? We just looked at the golf course homes. I showed you some data that you can look at to determine that those aren't as desirable. This is a dead giveaway that these are desirable, okay? If you look at the median, it says the same thing. The median list price is $445,000 and the median sold price is $445,000. So they're selling for what they're actually listing for, which is great in comparison to, you know, in general in the Greenville market. You're not going to get 100% list to sold ratio. You're going to get closer to like a 98%. So people like the basement homes overall. Don't let appraisers tell you otherwise. Appraisers hate basement homes. I talk about them a lot. They don't like them. Here's some more data that tells you what you need to know. The cumulative days on market, by average 5, by median 3. Okay, the lowest of any numbers on here. The averages for the entire community are 21 and 6. So they're selling in less than a week on average to basement homes in Pebble Creek. Of course, this all depends on them being listed properly, right, for the proper price. But during this sample size, it appears that they were. Now, the price per square foot was lower. The price per square foot on average was $139, and on median, $145. I said I wasn't going to say median all these times, but it turns out that I am. So, on average, that's a lot lower than the 166 and 163 average and medians that we have for the entire sample size. But again, this is what you can expect when you get homes that are much bigger. The bigger homes sell for less price per square foot than the smaller homes. And that's just because at some point, people are no longer willing to spend extra for just more square footage, right? Some of that square footage is a little bit superfluous. right? Completely, you know, if we're going to be completely honest about it. Do you really need that extra office downstairs? Do you really need that extra storage? How much do you need it? Generally speaking, once we, you know, once you have a living room, once you have bedrooms, once you have the bathrooms, and maybe one more flex space, once you have all of those things, and of course, kitchen, you know, things of that nature, any additional square footage is kind of extra for a lot of people. Now, they still like it. Nobody wants less square footage unless they're concerned about the maintenance side of things. That's why one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why you see the price per square foot tending to be lower for some of these homes. We also run into the thing of, I mentioned appraisers don't like basement homes. They tend to not give basements the full value on the appraisal for what they're worth. So realtors have to factor that in when they're pricing a home, as do sellers. But long story short, even though that price per square foot is the lowest out of all of the numbers on here, it is still, all the other data speaks to the basement homes in Pebble Creek are desirable. People want them. They're looking to get into those basement homes. They're willing to pay a premium to do so. Now let's look at pool homes. You'll hear people say that people don't want pool homes. That is and isn't true at the same time, okay? Here's where it is true, okay? Someone that doesn't want a house that has a pool, they really don't want a house that has a pool, okay? And they will not compromise on that. On the flip side, someone that really wants a house with a pool, they really want a house with a pool. And they're tending to not going to compromise on that. Well, then there's also a subset of people that are, they're not, the pool's not even really on their radar, but they might be okay with it. You know, oh, well, it's a great house and it also has a pool and the pool's in good shape. I might be okay with having a pool. Like, that kind of sounds fun. Can't tell you how many people I've run into over the years that fit in that category. Now, here's the thing. Here's where the rubber meets the road, right? I'm talking about all these different groups of people very abstractly. But the supply and demand elements are striking. Because there's not a ton of pool homes, particularly for in-ground pools in the greater Greenville market. And so, in my personal experience, I don't have numbers to quantify this, but in my personal experience, there is greater supply versus the demand for people that want pools. So there's more people wanting homes that have pools than there are good homes that have pools. Versus the flip side of things, the people that don't want pools, they have tons of options for homes that have pools. And so the conventional wisdom that people don't want pools isn't really true in the Greenville market. Because again, you've got to, yes, there are people that don't want them, but you've got to look at the supply and demand dynamics. There's not a lot of homes that have pools, and there's a lot of people that do want them. That tells you that having a pool doesn't hurt your value. As long as that pool's in good shape, you've maintained it, it looks good, everything else, you know, around it is good. Now, it's not good if you have a pool and no backyard, okay? A lot of people don't want that. They want some kind of green space somewhere. But that's neither here nor there. Okay, so let's talk about this sample size here. On average and median, the lot sizes were bigger, 0.43 as opposed to 0.4 on average for the lot size, 0.5 acres by median versus 0.37 by median for all properties that we looked at in Pebble Creek. The average size, again, larger. Not as large on average as the basement homes, but interestingly, the median was larger. So the average was 2988. I just talked about basement homes were 3162, and the entire sample size was 3400. So we're talking about 600 square feet larger on average than your average home in Pebble Creek. Now the median was 3252. That's even larger than the basement median of 3128. Larger than the median for all properties in the sample size of 2410. So these are pretty big homes, right? They've got the pool. The lot sizes on average not as big as basement homes, but on median pretty comparable. So basically we've got homes that and some of these pool homes are basement homes too. Okay, I did not separate these out as like okay these don't have basements, these do. too tricky to get in the weeds and all of that. So on average, they listed for 477, the highest number out of all of these. 477, 833. The median list price was 499,500. Okay. What did they sell for? They sold for on average 468. So down about 9,000 from what they listed for. The median was 495, down about 5,000 from what they were listed for. And the sold price per square feet, 160 on average, 152 by median. So those are lower than the averages for everything as a whole. But again, these are larger homes. These are larger homes than the averages that for the entire community. And so for the sold price per square feet, on average, to be only $6 below the average for the entire community, or for the median to only be $11 a square foot below the average, and to be higher than the basement homes, this is telling me these pool homes, they should be way, right? I way lower on the price per square foot. I would expect it to be like in the 130s, but instead it's in the 150s or 160s. People want these pool homes. I'm telling you, they want the pool homes. If you get the pool home with the basement, even better. Now, they're a little bit overpriced. They're listing these homes a little bit overpriced, but that's okay. They're still not selling for that much less than what they're listed for because people are looking for them, okay? They love the idea of having that great pool in the great community. They can go back there. They can refresh. Of course, Pebble Creek has great trees throughout that community. Really, you know, a desirable place to be in general. And so people are paying for that, and they will pay for pools in communities that already have pools, right? After COVID, people don't really care to go to public pools as much as they used to. Those are not in vogue as much as they used to be. And so these pool homes selling for, by median, almost $500,000. That is so much higher than any of the other numbers here, right? Remember, the median for everything was $390,000. So it's selling for over $100,000 more than the median. And that's with them, you know, by median being about 800 square feet larger. So some very interesting numbers for me on that. The old conventional things that you hear about pool homes do not apply. How quickly do they sell? Well, they don't sell as quickly. Okay, now here's another thing to consider. The average days on market, 30 days. The median days on market, 31. Remember what I said for the average for everything was 19 and 6. 19 average, 6 for the median. So they're taking longer to sell. Why is that? I just said it before. The number of people specifically targeting pool homes is a small but aggressive group. But sometimes it just takes a minute for those people to find the homes. It can be tricky to find pool homes, you know, if you don't have a dedicated MLS search for them, right? If you're just looking on Zillow and whatnot, sometimes Zillow will miss these things. I've seen Zillow call things pool homes that aren't pool homes. I don't understand how that works, but I have seen these sorts of things over and over again. But sometimes as well, it takes the right person to come onto the market, right? It's got to be the right person. Maybe when you listed the home, that person wasn't ready yet. But then after 3 or 4 weeks, now that person is looking and they're like, all right, what are all my pool home options? They see your listing and they're like, there it is. That's the house that I want. Perfect. I've been looking for a pool. I've been looking to be in Taylor's. I love this Pebble Creek neighborhood. I'm willing to pay for the HOA, even though it's pricey, all these different things. They're willing to pay that premium in order to have that that great little piece of water in that backyard that you can jump in and cool off in during the summer. And so so don't be afraid. If you're a seller, if you got that pool doesn't hurt your home value. I promise you it doesn't. It can actually help your home value if you keep up with it. You've got to keep up with it. That's super duper important. If you've got a basement, you're hearing that basements don't get full value. It's true, but basements still help the value of your home, and they're going to sell quick. People like their basement homes. Again, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of supply out there, people that want basement homes. They would take a basement home over a 2-3-story home any day of the week. Tons of people that are out there. And there's not enough basement homes in the Greenville area to fulfill that demand. There's not enough supply of the basements to fill the demand. Apologies if before I might have said supply and demand. I kind of got on a roll there. This is not a scripted podcast. I may have said supply, but I meant demand a few other times. I don't know. It's late at night. It's 8:30 at night. I'm having to record this now because I've got people doing work at my home. I'm actually doing a basement remodel at my house. And guess where I record this podcast? In my basement! So I didn't want you guys to hear, you know, a bunch of hammers and drills and who knows what else, drywall saws in the background. So I'm getting this content out for you guys at 8:30 p.m. so that you don't miss it. But that's all I have for you guys today. If that all makes sense or doesn't make sense, let me know. You guys know, you can reach out to me anytime. Text me, call me, you know. I'm on WhatsApp if you want to do that. You can send me a DM. People send me Facebook messages. Fine. Instagram messages. Don't recommend it, but fine. All of those things. Look in the show notes. You'll find the core contact info, but you can hit me up those other ways as well. Look in the show notes for Piper Insurance Group and get a free quote from them today, home, auto, or umbrella. And please like, rate, review, subscribe, and we will talk again next time.